Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Photographer Mindset Podcast. Wanted to take a moment to mention the sponsor of today's episode, and that's Tamron Americas and their March Mega Sale that's happening right now, where you can save up to $200 US or $300 Canadian on a fantastic selection of lenses for your mirrorless camera. It's definitely your chance to level up your photography game with high-quality Tamron lenses at unbeatable prices, including $100 US or $200 Canadian off Tamron's new 28-75mm f2.8 G2 for Sony mirrorless cameras. It's a lens that I have in my kit. I've mentioned it on this episode before. It is awesome, super versatile. This sale only lasts until April 7th, so whether you're a seasoned pro, just starting out, or somewhere in between, Tamron lenses will help you capture every moment with incredible clarity and detail. You can head over to Tamron's website by visiting the link in the episode description, or stop by your local camera store to grab your new lens before it's too late. Hey man, how are you?
I'm good. I'm refreshed. This is a morning episode. I've got my coffee.
We're going to be real sharp, huh?
Maybe the opposite. I don't know. We'll find out.
Well, since our episode with Slater, when you guys were talking about beards, I decided to let it go a little bit. And for people watching on YouTube, they can see what I was talking about. The handlebar section grows in way thicker than the rest of the beard. So it should have been a pilot and done the, we're flying at the 25,000 feet today, or a fireman, but I'm a photographer instead. That's why we have the Photographer Mindset Podcast. And if you want to see my unproportional facial hair, you should go watch these on YouTube and subscribe to that channel, because you can see us in the flesh if that's what you choose to do. Some people are like, nah, I don't really need to see
you. No, thank you. I've seen you once. We're good.
Seen you once, got the t-shirt, been there, done that. So Instagram called you. What's up? Let's go. They literally phoned you on the phone.
Yeah. I'm not in trouble. That's what it sounds like.
They said, sir, you've been too funny lately. You need to dial it back.
You know how Instagram does those prompts? Like sometimes you'll get a bubble. It used to be like, do you want to be monetized? Or like, do you want your reels to, you know, give you money?
The one I get now is, hey, do you want to be Meta verified? I say, no, I don't want to pay $20 a month for a blue check mark. Thank you.
Right. So that thing comes up. I got one that said, like, would you like to talk to an Instagram expert about news, tips, what's happening, new features? I think, I don't remember if I did it by accident or I did. I was like, sure. Well, whatever. This is interesting.
You put on your like date clothes and everything. It was like a FaceTime.
Yeah, I was like, getting ready.
Are you doing press? Maybe they'll nudge me in the right direction.
I did ask if they could just turn on a button and make this whole thing a little bit easier.
I guarantee you did say that.
I did. So anyways, I filled this thing out. This was like 3 weeks ago. And then I got a text that was like, this is Jeanette from Instagram. You did fill out a thing. I was wondering if I could give a call from this number at some point today. You like answer yes or something. So I did and didn't think much of it. But hours later, the phone call came through. And the nicest woman, I must say, was on the phone from Meta. Very, very kind and like seemed really interested in my process and what I was doing and what I wanted to get out of Instagram. And tried to give some tips in terms of how to grow right from the horse's mouth, I would say, because they're there. You know, it wasn't anything groundbreaking. It's a lot of things that we hypothesize or people you've probably heard, but I'm given the info. It's from them. It's from them in terms of like, hey, this works a little bit better. There's little things that I learned for sure.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, for sure. And then there's things that you could tell she was pushing, which is interesting in terms of, maybe you should listen if growth and expansion is something that you're interested in the social media world. So,
well, that's cool.
The intro.
Did you preface it at all with what you do, what you're trying to do? How did that go down?
Yeah. So she, again, very friendly, very easy to talk to, gave me a call and basically asked like, hey, you know, tell me your Instagram story. Like, how'd you get into it? What do you use it for?
Instagram story. That sounds so, I know. Anthropologists are going to study that.
it's true. My Instagram story, But it's funny because I thought it was a photo like filter editing app when it first came out. This is when it first came out. And I used it as like, oh, I took a picture. I can edit on here a little bit and add filters to it that I didn't have access to on like an older iPhone. And I didn't even know I was posting or doing anything. I was just like saving the photos on that app, which is funny to where it is today, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's massive compared to what it was. So she just asked, like, how'd you get started? What do you want to do with it? How important is growth? Do you want tips on how to grow more? That kind of vibe. And yeah, she wasn't really selling anything. She did not sell the blue check mark one time. She didn't even bring it up. But yeah,
that surprises me.
Yeah.
Because before we even get into it, I was going to say, like, what's the point for them, right? What's in it for them? I guess just you spending more time on the platform, which is ultimately the goal, would you say? Is that fair? Or are you improving so much so that you make other people spend longer on it?
Maybe. Whatever it was, I give Jeanette credit in terms of making it seem very altruistic, just very like, hey, I'm here to answer questions, give you a few tips. Thanks for hopping on the call. I'm going to send you an email, the transcript, and good
really?
Luck. Yeah,
transcript.
Yeah, a transcript with tips. Yeah, so it really had I give them credit. It had a non-salesy sort of feel and non-pushy feel, and actually felt like a person that was giving time to someone. To help them improve. I might have been one of, you know, millions, I'm sure, thousands, hundreds of thousands, who knows, but it felt very individualized.
Come to find out, Jeanette is an AI robot.
Yeah, Jeanette was an AI
from the new
AI
Meta
robot.
Program that just completely fooled you. Have you ever thought of that? Maybe it was just not a person. Maybe it was just an advanced.
That makes sense because I got her number and we were supposed to go on a date. And she said she was having technical issues.
See you in VR. I'll show you my favorite virtual dinner date.
Come on, Aaron.
Be better. Okay, people are probably like, God damn, cut to the chase. Where's the best place to start? Where do you want to start? What did you already know that they told you? Let's start there. What did you already know? You're like, yeah, I get it. Yeah, of course.
Posting more is better.
Of course.
Right. I knew that. And again, I was like, well, you know, I have a lot of other things going.
Only Meta.
She was great. But she's like, I totally understand. She's like, I don't get how people do all these multiple apps. Yeah. You got to cancel all the other ones. Just pick one. She's like freaking out. I don't know how everyone does Snapchat. It seems like way too much work.
She mentions everything except the things under Meta's umbrella.
Yeah.
People should really be using WhatsApp and Facebook and Instagram, really.
Yeah. So posting a lot, she says 3 to 5 posts a week is the golden number.
That's really doable, especially if you schedule.
Yeah.
To do it in doable are different, right?
Yeah. And I said, yeah, that's great. I said, me and my community, like my friends, we started with photography and really caring about photography. It's hard to consistently put up photos that you took the time and care, and especially video, like the time and care to do a quality thing, at least what you think is a quality project, takes time. So it is, unless you're just throwing stuff up there, which isn't my goal to just throw things up there.
Did you ask her about that? Quality over quantity, that age old debate?
Yeah, I got the sense. I said, I just knew strongly that what mattered for me, but I got the sense that consistency, the more consistency, the better, the more quality consistency, the way better.
Right.
And just trying to post as much as you can.
That's on the side of quantity over quality.
Yeah.
Post more good things than less great things.
Yeah.
Huh.
I would agree with that. I think that's, if you can, that's going to get you going.
Well, I've been going down that route. That's been part of my personal journey too, as a recovering perfectionist, is focus more on posting really good stuff. If it comes at the expense of only posting a few great things. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, I post few and far between, but like I said, there's other things going on, but you know me, I get these like spurts of energy where I'm like, and then I go dormant. I'm like a volcano. I'm an Instagram volcano.
Yeah.
Where I just kind of gurgle every,
I think that's art weeks. And that's, it probably flows and comes and you get motivated and then you need a break. I think that's completely normal. I think it's hard to do the grind of all the time, or you just,
I think if you're in a moment though of like real, you're in a creative flow state, you're just in one of those periods of your life where you're excited to and motivated and able to bang out tons of stuff. I feel like scheduling's your friend. I told you this before we started recording. I've been doing YouTube shorts. Mm-hmm. We're going on a tangent, but posting a video every single day on YouTube shorts since March 18th. Today is March 30th. And I found it's different than videos on Instagram because I can just post really cool wildlife clips. Mm-hmm. From out in the field on YouTube shorts without worrying about where's the hook or like where do I need to be funny, or it's just a straight clip with no cuts, and they're performing really well to people who love wolves, to people who love bears. And I think in 2 weeks it's gone from zero subscribers to 150, which is really cool and satisfying to see.
Yeah.
And I'm just scheduling, I'll sit down on a Monday, I'll get seven ready and I'll schedule them all for the week, and then they just roll out and I just forget about them. Because my brain's fresh on the Monday. I'm excited to edit. And then they're all out. And then Monday comes back and I can do the same thing. And I don't have to worry. I feel like posting there versus Instagram is very different in terms of video content. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe people can weigh in on this. We'll put that as the Spotify Q&A section. If you're listening on Spotify, go weigh in. Go answer those.
Yeah, weigh in.
Yeah.
So yeah, quantity, amount of times per week obviously matters. I mean, the more stuff you put out that gets seen, and it feeds each other. If you have five reels that you put out and one does really well, people from that one are coming to your page and they're going to see the other ones. It trickles down. It does. And maybe they see your other stuff. You get a follow, you get a new fan, what have you. So let me get back to some other tips.
I'm having the inkling to interject with my own questions, but I know better. I know that you'll cover them.
Well, maybe.
Mentally recording them.
A big push. If anything, push. She asks about my experience and how much she knew my experience. She knew everything, but she did ask my experience on threads. That was the push.
Yeah, now, I'm not surprised there.
So are you active on threads? It's a different beast. It's maybe not showing off your pictures, but having conversation with communities, asking questions, promoting other artists, all the things that I just never was really into with X or Twitter. I just never was into Twitter in general. So as I told her also, I'm like, I'm on threads to go over. Like I like Instagram is what I said. I'm like, I like how it's laid out. I get it. I get the idea. It's good enough for me. I don't know if maximum growth is my ultimate goal where I want to spend my time during the week. Right. We've talked about that many times.
Right. Yeah.
Growth helps in a sense, but it's a lot of time for growth when you can be doing a lot of other things.
Can I interrupt?
Right, yeah.
Just to integrate this video creating thing with real life. I kind of want to do this, and maybe you can do it as well. Be kind of a fun dual project, but done individually. It's just people. I saw this video of this guy. He just pseudo cinematically records his day from wake up to going to bed. I know that's not an original idea, but it could be kind of interesting to see. For people who are interested, just, we always talk about this concept, what our day looks like. I know every day is different, but in a general sense, what takes priority and how often you or I are actually editing or are actually shooting versus doing other things. And speaking for, I assume, living quite fulfillingly, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's very little.
Very little.
I mean, in terms of the amount of hours per week and how much I'm going out. Like, I got out yesterday for literally an hour as my son was in basketball practice. I was down the street from a known Eagles nest, and I just spent an hour there, and I was like, wow, like it's been a minute since I've even spent just an hour.
But so, you know what? That's what it's about. It's not about, oh, I killed it. I was out there for 4 hours today. You can get I think people underestimate how much they can get done in a short window of time. You can get a lot done in 2 hours of uninterrupted focus. All you have in a day, it's remarkable. If the phone goes away and you have a clear intention of what you want to get done, you can get done. Right now, I'm getting done in 3-4 hours what I used to get done in a day or 2 days, just with clear intention, like intentional focus.
Yeah.
And structure. It's amazing. And it's what you just described. It's about doing what you can. You know the saying, a workout is better than no workout, even if it's 10 minutes. You can apply that concept to anything.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? So I like hearing that. I had an hour of free time when my son was at basketball, so I went out and shoot. I tried to shoot. That's awesome. Yeah. Good for you. Yeah. Did you get anything?
Yeah, eagle. Like
that eagle, right?
Yeah. So you put in the work early, and then you can be super efficient. We've talked about this with wildlife. I've always said it takes 3 days for a good wildlife photo. Like, you have to find the area. That takes a long time. Then you find the area. Then you have a second day of like trying to shoot. Then you figure out their patterns, what's happening, when they return to the nest, when the sun's best, where's the sun set. Then on the third day, you're like, okay, I'm going to come at sunset. That's when they return. The sun's going to be this way. I need to position myself here. I'm looking for this shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all. Yeah. So 3 days minimum. But once you know the area, once you know the behavior of the animals, you can say, I have an hour. I'm going to go there and see if I can get lucky for an hour.
Yeah.
And it just seems really lucky. It seems like, wow, you went out for an hour and you got those photos of an eagle. But it's the hours before that too.
And in those hours of experience, you know, moving forward, you know where to look and what to expect and how to accelerate that entire process you just described. Going back to what you talked about, the push for threads, right? And how I think both you and I can agree Twitter or X wasn't really for us. I felt like, and this is why I kind of backed away from Twitter, X, and I haven't really gone into threads. I felt like, because I understand that in starting conversations and replying and asking questions is part of growth or whatever words you want to use. And I felt like I was asking questions or starting conversations just for the sake of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I wasn't genuinely wanting to participate in X discussion. And I was like, you know, I just kind of feel like a fraud.
Yeah.
And not that I don't like talking to people, but I can't envision myself doing that for 3-4 hours a day. I don't mind replying to comments, leaving comments on people's posts on Instagram. It's just not really the platform for me. And maybe she elaborated more on this. I don't know. Let's get back to your story.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think we all have this BS meter. And from the start with threads, it felt a great job on them. But what they did was like, look how many followers you already have. And people were freaking out about like, what, because Instagram's engagement was dead at the time. It was struggling, I should say, and it still is for like photographers. And we talked about that, so I'll get into that in a minute. But threads seem like this new answer of like, for these photographers, like, look at all this engagement, and you've just got 1,000 followers in a day. This is the new thing. Mm-hmm. And like, I agree. It felt like, well, I didn't really earn those. I mean, like, they're not even looking. I don't have any content on Threads, so why are they following? It's just like it seemed fed, and it seemed like people got addicted to that very quickly and started like, well, how do we exploit this situation over here on Threads? Mm-hmm. And again, if you loved Twitter and that's more your jam and you get it, then that might have really fit your.
Right, exactly.
Just the way, and that's fine. But to me, like you said, it felt like, oh, I have to think of like a witty question to ask to like be relevant here and fight through the current. And it's not typically what we were doing. in terms of our content creation. So it just felt a little forced. I agree.
Mm-hmm. And when you pass your own personal BS meter,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's not a nice feeling. So you take a step back, right? Yeah. And some people are very digitally extroverted, right? So that's like right up their alley, platforms like that.
That was a little bit of a push how to do better on there, which I got. It wasn't
well, for people who are interested in that. What were some tips to do better on there? What's do better? Let's avoid being vague.
Yeah. Do better. I think I said it earlier, but like, avoid posting your own stuff all the time. It's not the same as Instagram. The purpose of it is community. According mm-hmm. to her, the purpose of it is conversation, asking questions, having debates, those kinds of things, bringing up, you know, controversial things. And AI is a good, you know, question to bring up. People will really chime in on that. That kind of talk, that kind of thing. Promoting other people's work, sharing other people's work. In general, I think less about me, and having hopefully genuine conversations.
Did she verbatim say controversial topics?
No, things that bring up, it doesn't have to be like, you know, I don't know.
Crazy. Well, I don't necessarily mean controversial topics per se.
Trump versus Biden.
Like Trump versus Biden. Yeah, that kind of stuff. I mean, but it's just kind of interesting. I wonder, they want that polarity. Well, that can be harmless and that could be tearing countries apart, right? It's just,
right.
You heard right. it right there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, free speech as well. So it's a tough concept to get into, and we're not going to, because people are here for photography, not politics.
And, I'm thinking photography sense. Like that's our communities.
But you can see how it can get out of hand, right? You can get out of hand, and like that keeps people on a platform, right? When two largely sized communities emotionally and emphatically disagree on something, right?
Yeah. So. The reel that went really well was because it was like, is this a fake photo or a real photo?
Right.
That was the controversy.
People calling each other names in the comments.
Oh, God. Disgusting. Well, it's when you reach lots of millions, that's what happens. You see some things. Humble brag there, not on purpose. But all right, let's get into reels.
Yeah, sure.
So it's no surprise that photography is tough. And I brought that up. I said, you know, not too long ago, a photo would get great engagement. Now it's completely dead. And she was like, yeah, have you tried reels? And I was, she knew. But
have you tried doing something else?
Yeah. She's like, I went through your profile, that you can see there's a change in terms of engagement. And she's like, it's pretty clear what happened. Like she did say there's usually quality video. Like you have your videos very pleasing to look at, but what took the next step was when you engage in some sort of, again, I'm using that word, but like some sort of controversy or joke or humor, and
right.
it's quick and it's to the point and it's succinct, you can see a lot of your reels did pretty well. And you can see which ones maybe did less and which ones did more, and you can put together why. So video is very important. Here are some specific details, and these are things that I learned because I've always had questions about that, and it was nice to just hear it from Meta, from Instagram. Use 3 to 8 hashtags.
Wow, okay.
Make the hashtags as specific as possible and appealing to your vertical or base. For example, don't use hashtags like #explore or #viral or #photo that has millions and millions and millions of follows. But do use the name of the location, brands you showcase or use, and such other information. And look for a hashtag to have 100,000 to 500,000 follows.
I mean, that's kind of been the prescription since the beginning of this whole platform, has it not been? But you still see massive creators using those tags you just mentioned not to do. I mean, are they doing it wrong, or is it only for a select? Was this advice pertaining to you at 20,000 roughly followers?
I don't know if it was pertaining to me, but it's pertaining to Reels in terms of them continuing. So what she mentioned, which I thought was interesting, is when it's more viral of a post, like let's say hashtag wildlife. I don't know how many searches that has per day, but usually when you plug it in, it says next to it like 100 million followers, whatever, or 100 million posts with this hashtag. When it's like that, you might get a quicker boost in the beginning, but then it gets really buried quickly because everyone's adding on to that hashtag. So when people search that hashtag, if they want to search hashtag wildlife, your stuff's no longer at the top. So for longer virality that goes on and keeps like the post keeps being seen and keeps being shared. And I mentioned that to her. I was like, you know what was interesting? I've always heard with Instagram, it's like 24 hours and then it's dead, no matter what. Like that's your chance. But that has not been the case with some of the Reels that have gone really well, is they're still performing. I mean, I think I did that Reel 2 months ago and it's still going. It's still performing and getting comments every single day.
And my top comment's still performing.
Exactly. So her point was, if we've changed things where if it's really good and people are liking it, that's their ultimate goal. They want to keep sharing it. So it is possible for things to last a long time. And these were some of the things to help. So not using the crazy big hashtags, trying to be a little bit more specific, looking for things. And 3 to 8 was interesting because you were allowed 30, right? I think I always was like, I mean, there's those programs that find 30 relevant hashtags. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought that was usually just go with 30, unless I was being lazy and just did it on my own from my own brain, you know? Mm-hmm. So that was interesting. use insights. This is obvious. Look at your demographic. Look at when people, your followers are online and looking at stuff. That does just help a little bit.
I've always had a thought about this. Maybe you can weigh in and maybe she answered this. So if you know how when you look at your insights and it's a Wednesday, let's say, and your peak time is from 12 to 2 p.m., right? Mm-hmm. And 12 is the hottest, let's say, right? 12 and 1 p.m. are the hottest. But 10 and 11 a.m., they're hot, slightly cooler than the hottest time when people are on. I've always wondered, do you post at the hottest time or in that buildup phase when things are starting to warm up? Does that question make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you do? Was there any insight on that for people who are interested in that?
No, not specifically, but I've wondered looking at my own graphs because I do have that same slight buildup. I think there's more.
It's like a bell curve, right? In terms of, do you post in the middle of the bell curve or as the slope is increasing?
To me, I would think, I'm no expert, who knows? Sometimes I post like 9 p.m., 10 p.m. and it does really well.
Right. These are nuanced things, but I think some people really like to get into the data, right? I mean, I guess that's what we're doing here today.
I would think a slight gradual build, if it's a good reel and now people are starting to come on.
Yeah, I would think so too.
Would give you the best bang for your buck versus some of them miss it. You're in your highest point, some miss it, and now it's getting less and less.
Right. I mean, that makes sense, but you can't confirm or deny, I guess.
Nope. Just an idea. Mm-hmm. Okay. So moving on. So we got the hashtag insight reels. She says 5 reels a week would be great for growth.
Holy, but she said 3 to 5 originally you should be posting. I guess 5 is optimal.
5's optimal. She said up to 5 reels a week would be, I don't want to say the best for growth, but probably.
So then you're literally, that's simple math. If she said
mostly, if
she said 3 to 5 a week, 5 reels a week is optimal. She's basically saying, don't even post photos if you care about growth. Straight from the horse's mouth, don't even bother.
Yeah. And I can tell you.
Right? Is that not that simple when you break it down? Yeah. Is that what she's saying? You know?
My photos have a hard time breaking 100 or 200 likes, whereas some comments on reels have thousands of likes, you know? Right. So it's like, it's pretty clear right now that photos are not being pushed out into people's feeds, just period.
Not even carousels? Because people have been having some good performance with those.
Yeah.
Myself included.
I think if they're great photos, they're still going to do decently, but you can't tell me they're doing as well as they did 3 years ago.
No, definitely not. But I mean, when I go into my own insights, some of my bear carousels are outperforming a lot of my reels, and that's probably my fault. My reels probably suck, but it's just interesting insight.
That is. I think everyone's Instagram has been developed or grown in certain different ways. I see mm-hmm. people that their photos still do really, really well. And it's, I'm always like, oh, that's interesting. You know? And, you know, maybe it's just that's what they've stuck to and that's what their followers like and they're mm-hmm. sought out. Who knows? Maybe Who shifting knows? Gears changes things. I don't know. I just know, you know, also, this is a personal thing, but when you have to add paid partnership, I think it kills it.
Oh, I really
think
sure.
I think it kills People your photo because they're like, I do. Right? Does it kill it?
Yeah, it's an ad. Nobody likes those.
Yeah, no one likes those. I think Instagram is.
I mean, it's part of the process. I mean, we do ads,
right?
Do people like them? Probably not. But I mean, it's part of how we can offer free content for our time. Right. So people can put up with the 30, 60 second ad, knowing that anything they gain from a podcast episode in this example is entirely for free. It's the same. You're using the service for free on Instagram. You can deal with a couple of annoyances.
Yeah.
That's at least the way I look at it. I think it's so funny when did we get one of these comments? People are like, oh, there's ads now. It's like, well, yeah, this is our time for free. You know, mm-hmm. we support mm-hmm. the products, right? Like that we use them. We think they'll help you. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't want to run a tangent, but it's a bugaboo of mine, right? I mean, people, if the product's free, there's somehow it needs to be monetized. It's just maybe my opinion. Maybe people disagree, but.
No, I mean, absolutely.
Right.
Unless they're subscribing or paying themselves, you know?
Right. Now you're paying, right? Now you're paying to.
You pay for HBO. There aren't a lot of commercials.
Right.
Right?
Right. Yeah.
You pay the cheapest amount for Netflix. They're going to add in ads.
Right. And you don't pay anything for Instagram. So of course they're going to be there. Did she mention anything about carousels? Get back on that.
No, she didn't. The one thing I would say is eyes on, right? If you have an engaging first picture and you see that there's more, it's people are going to stay on your posts a little bit longer. Right. Right. So I think that's where it could benefit if people are going through each photo and kind of taking mm-hmm. it in. It's mm-hmm. going to be longer than seeing one photo and just moving on.
Right. What else you got?
What else do I got? Post consistently. We talked about using trending audio. Same with sort of hashtags. Try to get trending audio at the start of a trend versus when it's this audio has been used 1 million times, you know, try to get it. See that little arrow that's trending up, but try to get it more in the like 20,000 range.
That's what I was going to ask. How many plays was optimal? The 20,000 or lower? If you can find an arrow
around there, give or take. She wasn't super specific. Though?
How does that help? Did she give any insight into that?
I think, well, no, I didn't. We only had like 15 minutes, but
I guess it doesn't matter. I'm just always curious.
I think maybe your same sort of thing when it's millions and you can click on the audio, who's using it. Mm-hmm. It's just your stuff's going to get buried much faster, like way, way down.
So similar concept.
If people do a couple of scrolls, I feel like it's the similar concept and potentially, I don't know. I don't know if it's in the millions or what have you, it's dying down. People might be a little bit like, oh, this song again. I don't know. You know, I definitely do that.
I'm a photographer and I took this photo.
Yeah.
I'm losing my head rent free. We should find the person who made that audio. Somebody knows who it is.
Yeah.
That's one. And we should have them on the podcast.
I'm gonna repost that reel. That was one of my best reels.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah. Do you remember that when I was playing at the piano? And I was like, tips to be a better photographer, and I'm just trying to learn that song.
Yeah. Amazing.
Anywho, the rest was just common sense. Those were some of the little things. I was like, okay, that's nice to just hear from someone that is there. But more interestingly, I thought it was interesting that they're providing the service with someone that's in a good mood and seems to really genuinely want to help and was, you know, just a pleasure to talk to, honestly. I'm not saying this for any other reason than it's just true. So it's interesting that they're putting in that much effort to connect with people and seemingly take over the space of the world in terms of social media.
Right. Right. So what were the things you were like, oh, I didn't know that?
The hashtag advice, I honestly didn't.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Really think about that. I think it just hammered home, like, without them saying it, that, have you heard about video? Like,
we know, video. Which we know this, but I mean, it's just confirmation, right? People are like, oh, photos are coming back or carousels are coming back. And it sounds like, no. No. This entire episode is about if you care about optimally growing, right? Which isn't a priority for a lot of people, you know?
Right.
Was there anything about, hey, I want to grow, but I don't really care about the rocket ship? You know, that's kind of, I feel more up your alley and mine and maybe a lot of listeners.
That's what I ultimately said to her. I was like, this, you know, it's nice. And I said, if you could just push a button, it would just help us all out. You know, like just turn on the follower. And she's like, if I could, I would. But it doesn't work that way. I was like, yeah, right. I bet it does. But, I think she's like, listen, sounds like you're busy. You're enjoying it. That's the ultimate goal.
Right.
She was super nice. That's what I'm saying. Like, she was like, you don't want it to be a job. She's like, because I told her a little of my background.
Maybe
she's
you
like,
do. I don't know if you're.
You've got, well, for me, she's like, you got plenty of stuff going on. Like, that's great. You're diverse. Like, you don't have to be crushing it on here. Like, just, you're doing a good job. Do your thing. She was just very, I don't know, uplifting. Like, just do your thing. It'll put out some good stuff. Maybe not, you won't have crazy growth. Maybe you have a couple reels that help you out. Just have fun. Right. So I think that was a good overall message for everyone is like, make sure you're having fun. If some of these things help you, I don't care if you're posting once a week or whatever. Now, if you're thinking about like, I'm just going to pay attention to what hashtags I post and see if it helps at all. I don't know if it, and that's guaranteed will, but those were some of the tips.
Yeah, that's really awesome.
Yeah, it was cool. It was a different, cool experience.
So does this change anything for you? Does this cult change anything for you in the sense of...
Does this cult? Is that what you said? Or call?
Call. The call you had.
It's a cult.
What cult? You're saying the photographer mindset's a cult?
No, Instagram.
I mean, maybe it is. I don't know. Cults are very different. Does it?
No. Listen, Let's reflect. Yeah. Everyone likes attention and the growth and whatever that feeds in our psyche. It is fun, but it's at the cost of the other part for me, which is the time, the effort, the stress, the comments that come with it, you start to reach people on the internet and you start to deal with the trolls, this has nothing to do with the video that I'm commenting on, but your photography sucks. It just opens up a whole bunch of stuff. Not that I can't handle any of it. It's mostly laughable, but it does become busy. It does become more more junk in the air that you're dealing with. So to keep it sort of at bay, and again, for me, it's definitely a quality over quantity thing. I post something when I think of something, or I have a good photo that I want to share. I'm not too worried that it didn't do well or it did do well. That's a nice surprise if it does, but it comes with other stuff too. So to answer your question, I don't know how much it changes things. It might make me aware of like the little things like hashtags or music picking. You know, why not try to optimize it based on recommendations? Mm-hmm. But if there's a song you really like that fits the video that's not trending, use it, because that was like your creative intent. That's your artistic choice. And who knows, maybe you make it trending, right?
Yeah. I mean, I, while we were talking, I pulled this up at the start of the episode, cause this is very interesting. It's one of the Spotify polls I put on a previous episode. And if you're wondering what that is and you're listening on Spotify, you can swipe up on the episode and there's a questions and answers section. There should be a question there that you can respond to and we'll publish it. And there's also a poll that with one click you can weigh in on. And the data is really cool. We're going to have to do an episode where we go through all these poll stats of what people have answered. But this one I'm referring to was a previous episode. I made the poll question, is a social media presence vital as a photographer? Your options were yes and no. What do you think the percentage was of respondents?
Say it one more time for me, because it
is a social media presence. Is a social media presence vital as a photographer? Your options were yes and no, and I'm asking you, what do you think the percentage was?
I think overall, yes.
What number would you put? Would you guess? So you would answer yes to that question personally.
Yeah, I think, if I had to pick. Of course, it's not vital. There's people
that you would click no, if it's not vital.
But
is a social media presence vital as a photographer? Critical? Necessary? Could you sub in necessary for vital? Maybe not so much.
Fine.
Is the social media presence ultimately very
absolutely
important?
Needed? Oh, very important. Yes.
Well, that's what vital would be, right? Like critical.
Yeah. That's a great question.
I've got you flustered.
It's making my brain explode. Let me just talk this out. Can you survive without social media as a photographer? Sure. There's plenty of people that do. Plenty of people that don't put in a ton of effort into social media and really are successful.
Money-wise, right?
Yeah.
But if you're an artist, you really care about sharing, I would imagine. And you don't care about the money per se.
Right. But before social media, Ansel Adams is pretty successful.
Yeah.
I mean, just as an example, like you can...
But still shared in magazines.
Yeah, still shared in galleries and what have you. But
right.
Social media is just a nice tool for most photographers to be able to get business, be successful, get sales, whatever. I think it is a tool that if you're not using, it's going to make things a lot harder to make it.
Okay.
So
now are you going to answer, is a social media presence vital as a photographer? You're saying yes. Did I hear you correctly?
The average photographer, yes.
Okay. What do you think the data was?
50-50.
No, it's skewed one way.
It's skewed towards no.
It's skewed towards yes.
Oh.
75% of people who responded to this poll said that a social media presence is vital as a photographer, and 25%, 1 in 4 photographers said no, it is not. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
This is straight from people listening.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's not a fair sample size because people who are maybe listening to this are interested in the whole episode we just talked about. So maybe it's not a good data set, but nonetheless.
I think it's a thing without it. Like, I have a different career without it. I don't know that I would have had the energy early on to break through without it in photography.
Right.
It gave an avenue to do all this stuff.
Right.
So for me, it was like it's a definite yes.
Okay, fair enough.
That definitely helped to get some things going.
Fair enough. Yeah. So to summarize, Instagram phoned you, tried to help you out, say how you could grow. I guess your call was entirely about if you cared about growing optimally. Mm-hmm. Originally, she said, Jeanette, hi Jeanette from Meta, post 3 to 5 times per week. 5 is optimal, and of those 5, make them reels. 3 to 8 hashtags. Use trending audio with less than 20,000 plays, if possible. Am I missing anything?
No, have
fun. Was there anything about time spent on it? Did that have a factor? Time spent on the app?
No.
Time spent replying? None of that stuff? I know you had limited time. It was a speed date.
No. Yeah, it was a speed date. Okay. So I've talked about this before. Things change, right? Like things evolve. 5 years ago when we started, it was a different way. And 5 years ago, people were complaining that it was better 5 years ago from then. So 10 years ago from now. So it continually evolves. It continually is changing. I think it's a matter of, do you want to go with the changes? Do you want to adopt the changes? Do you want to get into video? Do you want to try it? Or do you want to move on to something else and go somewhere else? And that's all fine. It's like your favorite restaurant gets a new chef and changes menus. Like you either like it or you don't. And you unfortunately might have to stop going, or you just continue going. And you might miss things from the old menu, but it is what it is. So,
but your friends are still there and you like the atmosphere. And
yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's a good analogy.
Thank you. I like analogies. Yeah. I think what I've noticed change, and this might be my own change, is in the beginning, I was definitely more invested with the replying to every comment and looking through and talking to people and promoting work and people promoting my work and a lot of shared like photos and community. And like we started up communities and were parts of communities. That's how we met. Like it was very interactive. There's been a shift, I feel like, to I want to get mine collectively. And like I want to have a viral reel. I want to post this. I want people to like this. I want people to share my stuff. I want people to buy my stuff with Bitcoin. I want NFT. Like it became very, to me, a little bit, and I'm part of that thing. I'm not saying I'm above it, but like it changed the shift of I want to be community based versus I want to be me based. And I think that's a little bit of the difference. A year ago, we talked about like people are complaining about engagement, but when's the last time you went through and followed creative artists that you actually liked and like looked for them versus staring at the app and being like, I'm not getting people following me, right? Like the shift changed. When's the last time you shared someone's photo and was like, this is an incredible photo by so-and-so? Like the shift changed. The feel, the vibe changed a little bit just in the 5 years that I've been here. And people blame it on the video versus photo thing. I think it's more of a little bit of the community versus the me issue.
That's fair.
Even our collective group, like we had a group of photographers that was very friendly and liked each other. We had this group, we would post and like each other's stuff. Like that even faded out. Like that was like a nice way to get 50 people to like your stuff and comment on it and cheer each other on. Like even that faded out to nothing.
Right. Yeah.
So I think that's telling that the sediment changed in terms of what we all started looking for versus sharing.
I'm laughing at you saying buy my stuff with Bitcoin NFTs. I told you. Crypto's had a huge surge in the last month, right? For people who are interested in that, know that. And there's a lot of people who think this is the start of the next bull run, which is going to be insane potentially. And I said, I looked at the price of Ethereum, I saw the jump, and I said, you watch how many NFTs start coming out again.
Yeah.
All the people who are dormant, how many NFT sales start coming up? And then what did I send? A screenshot yeah. of, I forget what I sent you. It was like new NFT listed, new NFT listed, new NFT listed of this, this artist. And I was like, I fucking told you.
Yeah.
Just watch. And this is me going on a rant, but it was never about the art.
Nope.
It was never. People were like, oh, we're supporting artists. It's like, no, you're not. You just want Ethereum, which is fine, but just mm-hmm. call it what it is. Just say, I want exposure to crypto. Otherwise, you would have been paying for all these beautiful pieces of artwork with cash in your credit card and US dollars, right. not right. Ethereum. That's yeah. my bugaboo. I don't have a problem with the NFTs and that whole thing. The technology is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But don't say it's about the art. It's not. Otherwise, you would pay in any currency. I mean, right. that's a very bold statement. Maybe some people disagree with that. But mm-hmm. the fact that NFT sales went completely dormant when Ethereum was in the toilet, and now that there's been a huge uptick, they're starting to crawl back out. I mean, I get how markets work to an extent, but it just kind of bothers me. It rubs me the wrong way. I think because people were under the guise of it's about the art, it's about supporting artists. No, it's not. Give me a break. Come on.
Right.
Come on.
That's right. That's right. He's right. I have nothing to add.
That's my passionate rant. I don't do them often, but whatever.
No, you're correct. I think
you know. I would correct. Respect somebody who's like, "Here's my artwork. I'd love some Ethereum."
Yeah,
you know,
I want to try to gain Ethereum with yeah. the use of my photos. Right. If people are willing to buy them, I'm not yeah. going to sell them for cash. Like, hey, right. I love your photo. I'll buy it for cash. I don't have Ethereum. I don't have a wallet set up. Yeah, here's how you set up a wallet. Right?
Yeah. I mean, people like, listening right. will say, well, that's the whole, like, that's the medium of transaction. I get it, which is true, but there were also platforms, I think one was called Voice, that came up during the first NFT craze, where you could buy NFTs for USD. So don't tell me they don't exist. I get that NFTs are transferred through the Ethereum network, but there were other ways to buy people's artwork.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And I still can't, maybe you can explain this better, not to get into a whole different topic, but mentally I have a hard time with like, this is the minted cop. This is the real digital photo where I still have it on my computer. I still can print it at the best quality. I still can do all this stuff with like, you have the original.
Yeah. You have to treat it like a letter of authenticity. That's the best way I can describe it.
That's a good way to describe it.
That's the best way I can describe it. I have a token that publicly shows my ownership of this artwork to the network on a, you know, in a ledger. Like I can show people that I own this. I get the whole, like some people can't get past the, well, I still have the photo. It's, I have a token that
proves that this is,
proves that I own this. It's like if you go to, you get a jersey signed by your favorite athlete, yeah. you get a letter of authenticity that says this is Cristiano Ronaldo's autograph, and maybe he did 1,000 that day, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the best way I can describe it. I mean, you can get to a point where we're going really off the rails, but I mean, you can have tokens for that prove the ownership of a home,
right?
Just it's endless. I love the technology. I just hate hypocrisy. I'm sorry. It bothers me. So I have a lot more respect for people who are like, hey, I'm selling my artwork for this many Ethereum.
Yeah. You know? Or like $500 because the print was 200. Not right. like thousands.
Now, to be fair, you can care. You can care about the artwork, I think, and also want exposure to this crypto asset at the same time for people who are getting all worked up. I think just being honest though, and not keeping that yeah. fact, that one critical fact out.
Yeah.
I mean,
mm-hmm. I do.
Otherwise mm-hmm. we would have been selling NFTs the whole time, personally. Like, despite right. it being a bear market or a bull market, whatever, it would just be what it is.
Yeah.
Since it's not flowing, it's like, oh, I'm not interested. Well, did the art suddenly get worse? Did people's photos, are people's quality, is the quality of the photo or the NFT, does that go down?
Right.
With the price? That doesn't make any sense.
Wouldn't it be good? Wouldn't it?
Wouldn't
would
it?
Would it not be good to sell NFTs when things were low? So, like,
be good to be buying them when it's low.
Buying when it's low.
Yeah, of course. Well, it's like a traditional market, right?
Right. People freak out. Buying when it's low. And then then the price goes up. But does it? Like,
right, like everybody's freaking out when Bitcoin's at $18,000. It's at $72,500 now, US dollars. And like everyone's like, whoever did that, who had the courage to do that. I'm not saying you need to go and buy crypto. I'm just saying people who were involved in that bought when everybody thought it was dead, tired. So if you're doing the same thing for NFTs and you're treating it as an investor, what's the difference?
Yeah.
But we could do a whole episode on this. Maybe we should have somebody on who knows more than us or a conflicting view, but
no, that's impossible. Just kidding. All right.
TVM artwork. We haven't done one of those in a while. And we dropped the ball in the last one. Last time you and I did an episode together, it had been so long since we did a TPM artwork that we were like, oh no, we forgot. Too excited. Yeah. But today we have one from Julia, Little Lightning Nature. Who's been a guest on this podcast. Beautiful moose. Awesome.
It's a moose. Big old moose.
Moosey, moosey, moosey.
Hopefully we see some in Alaska.
That's why we picked it. It's so beautiful and we're getting excited about our Alaska trip in July and we're hopefully going to see a ton of those bad boys.
Yeah, but that what an impressive photo and experience. Mm-hmm. It's looking right at her. The colors are awesome. Just an A+ photo.
Yeah, absolutely stunning. Go follow ya. Go follow ya. Wow. Go follow.
Julia.
Go follow Julia's work. Link to her page in the episode description at the bottom there. And of course, this is the TPM artwork section. If you're not familiar with what that is, episodes that Aaron and I do together. We pick a photo from the community to use as the cover art for the episode. All you have to do is use the hashtag TPM artwork on your photos on Instagram. We cruise through them. And we talk about your photo like we just did for Julius, talk about your work, and put a link to your page in the episode description for people to check out. We're over 4,000 submissions on the hashtag. It's pretty cool. At the very least, it's a good way to go in and see who else is listening to the show. Maybe find some people to connect with that inspire you, that you can. We talk all the time about building a team. If you're somebody who needs a teammate, it's easier to do it, whatever you're trying to do with like-minded people who have aligned goals, right?
Absolutely.
So with that, that's all I got, man. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
You too. The beard is looking great, full.
It's getting itchy. Voluptuous. It's going to be cut soon.
You got to get through that part. You got to get through the itch.
It's just not worth it. It's going to get hot. I need to be light for running. I need to shed the 0.1 grams that this probably weighs.
Yeah, the air friction.
Air friction, slows you down. Right. That's right, man. All right. Well, till next time.
Take care.
See ya.